For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at Simplified.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am so thrilled today to have Harker Harris on the show of Junto Global. You have lived quite a life, starting your first business when you were 17, becoming a board member for multiple nonprofits, being invited by the President of the United States to speak. I'm so excited to learn from you today and hear about all of your different rich experiences. And then to cap it off, you just told me that you and your wife have been traveling for the past year. So I'm just thrilled to dive in with you today, Parker, and so grateful that you came on the show.
Well, thank you, Anika. I'm a very lucky guy.
Well, I would say that there has to be more than luck. So let's unravel that a little bit. What prompted you to start your first company when you were 17?
You know, I think that great companies get created out of pain. And for me, my parents are both unhealthy, and that created a lot of pain for me. And it was an example of like what not to do. So pretty early on, I prioritized health in my life. And my first company was an extension of that. It was called Your Health Store. And I started it with my best friend, who was a few years older than me. And together, we pulled together some resources to start selling products. And that was a really humbling experience and started a journey both on the business side, as well as I think a deeper like mindset journey.
Yeah. Well, and for you to say that, most people don't start their mindset journey at that age. But clearly you were saying, okay, what does life look like right now for me and my family? I don't want what's happening to my parents to happen to me. And then what can I do to change it? So you were doing everything that good businesses do, right? Figuring out a problem that affects a lot of people and coming up with a solution.
Yeah, I think I was also lucky enough, or something that was different was I was an only child. And so I grew up around adults. Yeah. And so a lot of the things that other kids were thinking about were not really of interest to me. And I got interested in business and politics at a pretty young age, which didn't make me very popular at parties or, you know, dinner parties or anything like that. But I've learned to tame that down a bit. But I think that that helped me to think differently at a young age, because that was rewarded in the conversations that I was having with the people that I was surrounded by. And I'll tell you just a quick story that I think is interesting is I was fortunate, kind of long story short, my godmother's brother, and I was pretty close with my godparents as a kid, and he was a business attorney. And I came from a lower middle class neighborhood. And so I was always kind of like looking at what people were doing and who had what and what were the different paths out, you know, and an attorney became one of those paths. And at a certain point, I thought that that's what I wanted to do as like a teenager. I was like, yeah, I want to be a lawyer, even a tax attorney, which I'm so glad I didn't do. But he nudged me and he was like, hey, you don't want to be an attorney. You want to be the person that hires the attorney. And yeah. I was like, who is that? He's like, that's the entrepreneur. That's the CEO. Wow. And I was like, that's interesting. And so I think sometimes we think that we want something, and then once we get it, we realize that's not what we wanted. And having people in our lives that have that can nudge us to think a little bit differently or a little bit bigger can be all the difference.
Yeah, 100%. And something that you struck me that I'm kind of chuckling about is my daughter is an only child. She's in high school, but she's known since she was 12 what she wants to do when she grows up. And she also doesn't relate to a lot of the kids her age very well because she's very set and she already knows the direction. And it's so different because I was that, but also very social. And so it's interesting to parent a child that's different from you and to honor who they are. And it sounds like you had a lot of people around you, though, who could help honor and who you were and guide you in the decision-making process of who you were going to become.
Well, it wasn't that clean. I want to go back to your daughter in a minute in terms of what that thing is that she wants to do. But for me, it wasn't that clean. It was very difficult. The people around me and, you know, the other students or, you know, I didn't look at them as peers and they frankly weren't peers. But the other people that I was surrounded by in classrooms and different situations that I was captive of at the time, if you will, they were not supportive of these other things that I was doing. And there's, I think it's Eastern philosophy, like the nail that sticks out gets hammered. It was a very painful experience and it led to a dark place and something I had to kind of heal from and pull myself out of as part of my journey. And I think it's sometimes easy to look back on these things and think they were these neat, clean, inspiring, you know, they're really much, I think, more painful and difficult. But that also makes us who we are. It creates an ability to see other people for who they are and what they're struggling with and the ability to be empathetic and compassionate around them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that. I think I was thinking more of the adults who, your godparents and other people
yeah,
who helped you
totally.
With your path when you didn't have the support or the interest in engaging with your peers. I think that is a really difficult thing when you have a different kind of mind, right? You have a different perspective of the world, a different way of being driven or seeing things. And I do see that a little bit with my daughter, where she, you know, she has her friends and they all have their own thing that they're really, really interested in. And all those things are very different, but they acknowledge that about each other. But then when she does decide to be, so I have to try to nudge her to be a little more social just so that she gets that and knows how to advocate for herself. Totally, totally. I was not thinking we're having this conversation today, but her birthday.
This is perfect.
So she just had her birthday and she didn't really tell her friends that it was her birthday. And it was the last day of spring break. And I said, why don't you invite them over? It's the last day of spring break. I know you don't want to have a big party, but we can at least have them over and do something. She said, well, no, they already told me they all have stuff to do. I said, did you tell them it was for your birthday? Well, no, but now I don't want to. And then she was kind of upset. Only one friend texted her for her birthday. I said, so her dad and I said, like, we're divorced, but he came over for a few hours to spend with her. And I said, you know what? You're going to dad's house tomorrow. Why don't you text them right now and say, it's your birthday. You'd love them to come over for dinner, even though it's a Monday night. And, you know, tomorrow at dad's house and just have dinner with you. And so she did. And they all and like her three closest friends came and then she was happy. But then she's like, but they didn't tell me at school that, you know, they didn't say happy birthday. I said, again, people are in their own worlds. And it's not as common to find that empathetic person or that person who really cares that deeply and really listens to you and will write down when your birthday is and remember it of their own device. You're going to have to remind people a few times. So I think it was an interesting lesson for her to learn because so many times she is on that other spectrum of she doesn't really care what people think. She wants to be a neuroscientist to answer your other question. So she is very much like doesn't want to deal with people or the psychology. She wants to study the brain and mental anomalies. So she's so niched into what she wants to do and pursue that. And so I see that as our job as parents is to kind of help guide her a little bit, make sure that she gets everything else she needs, but that she can pursue what she wants to do. But I think you have to have people around you. You know, you will have the people around you who aren't supportive, but then you have to have people who are willing to say, you don't want to be the lawyer. You want to be the person who hires the lawyer. Or, hey, why don't you look at this perspective or that perspective?
What is your daughter's name?
Siri. Her full name is Catherine Chaisiri. Chaisiri is my mom's maiden name, and it means good or virtuous or righteous victory in Thai.
Ooh, that's
so
beautiful.
I knew before I even met her dad that I would have a daughter, and we would call her Chaisiri for part of her name, and then we would shorten it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think you're hitting on something that is starting to pop up for both younger people and older people in terms of living in this hyper connected world, but lacking, you know, deep and meaningful connection. I've started to see a lot of articles pop up around adult loneliness and just how, you know, a significant portion of the adult population really doesn't have a single friend, like a single person. And the more that I study mindset and personal development, I realized that personal development itself is not an individual journey, even though it says personal, that we are in relation to other people, and other people teach us a lot about ourselves. So I think that there's a structural issue in the education system and even in society, because I have a lot of older mentors that are between 60 and 80 years old that tell me that they're like, Parker, I don't have 10 people that I can talk to about the things that matter most to me. And that's the business that we're in, is creating that type of space. And so to hear that from people that are 60 to 80 years old that have had all this time to gather that network and have the resources, and that's still a pain, to your point of entrepreneurship and finding that pain. And then also seeing with for young people, and even my experience through the traditional education system, it didn't teach me a lot about myself. And so I think there's this huge opportunity that we get to solve at this point in human society that helps people to learn to manage themselves and, you know, learn about themselves and be more who they are. And I think be more high performing as a result of it, but also just be happier.
Yeah. Wow. So I'll tell you a couple of other stories. One is that we just did a spring break road trip, even though it's a little early, but we thought it would be fun to go look at some colleges and really identify the vibe, because we know what she wants to do, but now we need to make sure that we're applying to places that have a vibe that she likes.
That's so wise.
Oh, it's a privilege to be able to do that, right? And I totally acknowledge that, but it's been really fantastic because along the way, in one of the cities, we met a foremost expert in pedagogy, Dr. Anita Archer. She was giving a keynote on her 77th birthday at an education conference. And she was just sitting in a cafe, and we happened to sit next to her, and she struck up a conversation with my daughter. And I was like, wow, I love that, because that's something to aspire to think when I'm 77, I can still be speaking to people and sharing knowledge. Then in the next town, our very last day of the trip, we sat in a booth at a little, it was kind of a 50s style diner, but it was like a two-seater booth in the middle of the room with another two-seater with just a little partition, but we could still see and talk to the other people. And an older man started a conversation with us, and he's 93. And it was Dr. Clarence B. Jones, who was Martin Luther King's speechwriter, lawyer, advisor, told us about his time in Korea, told us about going to Juilliard, told us all about this amazing and rich life he's had. And at 93, he's still doing so much. And it was so inspiring to see, wow, these are people who are decades older than I am, but I was so inspired to think about, I can keep going. I'm just starting, even though I'm, you know, in my middle age years, I guess. But also, I could feel that they needed people to talk to and tell their stories to. So there was, even though they had families, there was still this element of loneliness that you're talking about.
That's such an incredible story. You got to have that guy on this podcast. What a cool story.
Amazing.
He has.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I think you're hitting on something else that I think is a missing opportunity in the future of society, which is that there's this natural fulfillment and positive energy that's created by already successful people when they're able to share their story and their wisdom with other people. And if you think about how we're, and this might be like a total rant or a side topic, but if you think how we're allocating resources within our current society, is we're allocating a huge chunk, let's call it 20% of our government's resources to pay these older, wise people to play golf.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of engaging them in the next generations. And I think that there's a way to connect the dots where people are able to feel that warm and fuzzy feeling that it comes from sharing their ideas and their wisdom with the next generation to revamp the future of education.
Yeah, absolutely. This seems like something you're so passionate about. So I do want to ask how you weave this in to the work that you do today. But before we get there, I do want to, because you thought you landed your dream job when you were 23 years old, right? Can you talk about that? And then how you moved on to figure out that, there's this other thing that I really am called to do.
I think the short version is that a lot of people have different opinions over what was good for me, like what my path should look like. And they mostly came from a good place, but they were based on their own limited view of how the world worked and what the opportunities were. So for me, I was really pushed at a young age to join the military. That was the path that my previous like generations had taken to move, I think, from being a boy to a man, I think like at the heart of it.
Right.
But I think there's also an element of like independence and starting to like develop and learn and become independent and self-sufficient and have these different experiences that are meant to test and grow and build. I watched the movie Troy when I was young. And there's like a line in there. It was like, don't waste your life following some fool's orders. That like hit me really hard. And it changed part of my path. And then it led to like, hey, like learn finance, learn business, which became more apparent to me after starting that business when I was young, when I was 17 and being like, there's just a lot that I don't know here. So I went and learned finance, and then I went to work for a big company. I worked for a Fortune 500 company doing finance, accounting, operations, and strategy over a four-year period. And I thought that I wanted to become a corporate development or marketing consultant or private equity and kind of that those elite niches within finance. And after starting to get my hands dirty doing some of that work, I realized that that was not my path, that that wouldn't be like a life well lived for me.
Wow.
And I was also able to get exposure to other executives at the company to ask them about like people that I thought I would want their job. If I worked the rest of my life and everything goes well, this is the position I'd want. And it was very interesting to hear their feedback to me when I would ask them about how they spent their days, whether they enjoyed that, whether they found that meaningful, whether they'd recommend that to me. There was this pattern of, I wish I was asking these questions when I was your age.
Old soul. You have to be an old soul because most people at that age in your 20s are not going to be thinking about asking those kind of questions, right? You're going to be maybe thinking about the success and moving up the ladder and how much money you can have and having the picket fence with the wife and the kids and the dogs and all of that. But you're not going to be thinking about the how, the why.
I think, yeah, I keep on saying you're hitting on something, and I don't normally say that, but I think that's really powerful because I like environments where I'm able to ask questions. And I think entrepreneurship is that ultimate environment where a lot of the, maybe more of the traditional corporate or even the nonprofit paths, they don't value those questions as much, I found. And one of the hardest lessons for an entrepreneur, in my opinion, and I think even for a marketer and, you know, someone developing a brand, is to learn to listen versus talk. Like, instead of telling, like asking.
Yeah. Because ultimately, we're all here to provide a service to people to solve something that's going on. Whether it's mindset or finance, they need loans, they need to figure out how to put together financing for their company or how to bill properly or whatever it might be, or it's a product or service that we love to use, right? If we don't listen to the people who want it, it might be something that we started because we wanted it initially and we realized there was a hole, but if we don't listen to the other people, then we're missing the mark.
100%. I think that this is one of the reasons why entrepreneurship has such a high failure rate. I think like the statistic is like, it's like 90 to 95% of startups fail or companies fail within their first 3 to 5 years, is because the traditional education system, and I think the way that the world works, is people are have such a desire to be right, so that they just want to talk about what they know and how right they are about their hypothesis versus assuming that they're wrong and going in with that like humility to then like ask. Because in my life, there's so many people that I have wisdom to share with them, but they're not even curious to hear that if I shared it with them. And so I think that that often applies to businesses too, where it's like, hey, when we're sharing negative feedback with the entrepreneur or with the company, is that person taking notes and just being grateful for that? Or are they trying to defend themselves with policies?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I have so many questions. But I want to go back to, you asked all of these executives in your business about their jobs and their lives and if they were fulfilled. And they all said they wish that somebody that they had thought to ask these questions, right, when they were your age. So out of that, I'm thinking that you decided this was not the path for you and there was something else that you did need to do and to achieve and to be.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, 100%. I had to take a very sober look at what I was doing, where I was spending my time, and what actually turned me on. And I think there's always this challenge or paradox towards truth and in entrepreneurship where it's like, we have to get feedback from other people and listen and learn like we've talked about, but we also have to do what we know is right. And that's, I think that showed up in this situation too, is I was asking them, hey, what advice would you give your children? I got to like that point and they were just like, that's a really personal question, right? Yeah. And I was like, yes, it is. And it usually came down to some version of like, you know, do what you're passionate about, like find out what you love to do, what turns you on, even if it's cartooning or something like that, right? Yeah. And I was like, that's really interesting. And I realized there was something in my life that I was doing that was kind of my art or what I was willing to do with when I didn't have any extra time or extra money, but it was like something that I was committed to. And that was Junto, which I started a few months after I graduated because I was missing a space to continue to learn and build relationships, which I felt like was like missing after that, or like that university experience. And just getting kicked out into the real world, if you will, and working 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, and going to the gym and dating and grocery shopping and just trying to live a successful independent life. There wasn't a lot of space for, I think, some of that investing in myself and those little things that end up making such a big difference.
Yeah. I teach grad school at USC. And one of the things that I teach is branding. And I do this for businesses and other people as well. But the way I look at branding is through the construct of who are you? What is your purpose here on earth? Right? What's your vision, mission, your value system? Because if you know who you are, then whether you decide to work for yourself or work for somebody else, you'll make an easier yes, no decision. Now, of course, we all stumble, we all take lessons and learn along the way, but it's really important to know who you are. And so I'm just saying this because I feel like you had that very strong purpose, vision, and mission very early on. You knew who you were. You knew what values you held intrinsically. And so many people don't. And it takes such a long time to get there because we get clouded by, we get caught up in success, or we have to be the perfect wife or homemaker or executive at this job or whatever the case may be, that we lose our sense of self and forget. And I think that's why so many people leave their careers mid-career, or they found success and they go, wow, that wasn't really fulfilling. Let me figure out who I really am. And they make a pivot. And I think that's probably something that you help people do in Junto. The other piece is, one of the things I love doing with my students is talking to them about their capstone projects or what they really want to do, and saying, okay, sometimes I'll give them homework and say, I'll introduce you to these two people, but then you need to go through my LinkedIn and let me know who you want to meet, because I'm not going to do all the work for you, right? Or sometimes I'll say, you need to solve this in the next 10 days. A student I spoke to this morning who's going to Nicaragua to do a film project. So I said, okay, I'm just going to put you on email with these three people because I can tell you this part, but I don't know about that. And they're all documentary filmmakers. So it's really interesting. I think what you've hit on is truly what is needed is, how do we continue to learn and grow and create community and not be afraid to have people to talk to, right? Because you also mentioned there are people who tell you what you should do and who you should be. And then you have this other idea over here. And especially as entrepreneurs, it's really difficult sometimes to take a leap of faith and move a step away from a full-time, well-paying job to do something. And maybe we've had a couple of other businesses and we learn everything along the way, right? But there are a lot of people who don't understand that mindset. So talk to us about Junto and the evolution of it, because you started it very young again. And I can imagine that what it might have started at, it might look a little bit different now.
Well, before I do that, I think you touched on something that is just really powerful, which is around learning to embrace rejection or failure or disappointment, like learning to embrace things not going the way that we want them to go as like a pivotal part of the journey. And I think that sometimes one of the weaknesses I see with people that are leaving the traditional education system is they're so used to being handed the syllabus that it's like they don't know how to decide for themselves the new syllabus, if that makes sense. Like, what is the new goal? Like, designing their own development plan, the books that they need to read, the events that they need to go to, the people they need to talk to, the questions to ask. And I think, you know, I have this conversation with friends from time to time where there's no competition at a certain level when there's an actual genuine curiosity and desire to add value to other people. There's so few people playing that game that those people, for the most part, all want to help each other, you know, because most people are just kind of like wanting to do as little as possible to get the most out of it. And there's a lot of competition to play that game. But like the competition to like work really hard to have a big impact on other people's lives and like not just have the why part of it. Like it's like, oh, I have this, like the why and the mission part that you touched on, I think is crucial because there's so much energy there. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, well, what are the skills required to layer on to that energy to manifest the idea? And a big part of that is self-mastery, because my own emotions can be my own worst enemy. Like I have personality traits and behavior traits that in the past hadn't served me, that until I mastered, I couldn't really layer on leadership or management or systems, you know, or, you know, even strategy was kind of like less valuable. And that's why I think a lot of times executives have to be a certain age, because the journey to that self-mastery piece and unlearning college essentially takes some time.
That's such a powerful word that you use, self-mastery. I'm actually studying with a former Zen monk right now.
No, you're not.
Yeah. And his program is all about...
You're amazing.
No, it's just something I feel really passionate about. Is, I think that's why this conversation is a lot different than a lot of my interviews, because we're having a conversation. Because there are a lot of things that I see as connection points, right? And the work that you're doing. And so let's talk about that, because I do want to hear about Junto. I went on the website and I was like, oh, there's nothing for me to really dig around in here. I just have to apply. But what does that mean when I apply? Is this something I'm signing up for that's going to cost a gazillion dollars? Like, you know, I was like, wow, I really don't know what this is. And so I'm imagining a lot of people, if they don't know you and they just stumble across it, also have those questions.
Yeah. There's a lot there to unpack. I think just high level, for thousands of years, this type of format has been used to make the world a better place and or to create great things, to create things that one person couldn't create by themselves. The classic example is like Knights of the Round Table. Mm. Like if you go back to that, it's a round table of a bunch of equals sitting there having conversations where they could challenge each other around ideas to make their kingdom a better kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's been happening for a really long time. And I think it's a very important conversation. My favorite movie is called Amazing Grace. Cool. And it talks about how the slave trade was abolished in England and then France, you know, hundreds of years ago. And it was done by like a group of people, like a Knights of the Round Table. You know, a very diverse group of people that all had different skills, different insights, different pains, different energies, different connections. So that's really the game that we play, is creating a space to have conversations that really move the needle in our lives and business.
Yeah.
And then creating a space to challenge each other, which I think is sometimes missing in this like world where we want to just tell everyone it's going to be okay.
Right.
And just be like really supportive. It's like, hey, like, it's not going to be okay. Like, you need to change. Like, you need to stop, right? Like, that conversation is very difficult. And I think those uncomfortable conversations are an important part of the journey to success.
Yeah. So what does it look like today for you? You talked to all these executives. You realized you needed to follow this other path. You'd already started Junto for yourself because you realized that you still had a lot you wanted to learn and you wanted to build this community. And now you can do it from anywhere in the world. You've been traveling.
It was one of the gifts of COVID. I mean, I know that there wasn't a lot of gifts of COVID for a lot of people, But for me, for a long time, my life was centered around in-person events and experiences. And COVID really shook that up. But it also did some things that I didn't expect. I think it exacerbated the pain that we solve, and it killed a lot of the substitutes that people use to solve it.
Really?
So we experienced a lot of growth during COVID, and a lot of people that were within our network and looking for something like what we were doing were more open to a virtual experience than they were previously open to. And then people had that weird realization where it's like, it would have been really nice to not spend all this time driving and trying to find parking to like go to this meeting. Maybe we can just keep going virtually. So we now have members on four continents, and I travel to visit members across the world and build relationships with people that want to support what we're doing.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, fantastic. And the types of people who are members, are there still people who are new out of school who want to learn, or is it mostly people who are higher level executives or entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so I think we serve a psychographic more than a demographic of people. So from an age perspective, we have a lot of variation between like mid-20s to mid-50s. We are talking about people that have experienced a certain level of success already and are still striving for more success and have a deep desire to grow their business while also having a successful life.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
It's funny. When I started Junto, I was 23.
Right.
And it was a reflection of me at that time. And I guess, like, long story short, what I'm trying to say is eventually what I would like to see is to be able to serve our members' children and to serve them through that journey, those difficult years of high school and college and early on in their career, throughout their career to even post-career, those retirement ages. I think there's a social structure. I know that's such a nerdy word to throw out there, but I think there's a social structure that would add a lot of value if we connected people in that way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think ultimately we're all craving connection. Sometimes we just don't know how to get it. And when I lived in Houston, my daughter and I were part of a group that started a nonprofit to help our kids understand the world a little bit more, because we realized they were growing up with so much more access to everything than we had. And we didn't want them just to only think about themselves and think about the world as that, as just, oh, we can do anything we want. Yes, we want them to be able to say, think, right, and do anything they want, but also with a conscience and with empathy. And so we did volunteer work, and then another organization ended up taking the place of what we needed to do, which was fantastic. But we were able to, we built well in Ethiopia with the kids because we just did service activities, right? And it was really cool to see them asking the questions. Well, why is that man homeless on the street corner? Why are there not more women that we're seeing? So then we had these discussions with our kindergartners about these deep topics, including violence against women and like other things, or some kids wanted to do more stuff with the animals. So we really got to see like what piqued their interest. And then I had a social club right before I moved back to LA from Houston. And it was built around, if you don't have connections and you don't know how to build connections, we will help you. Because I moved to Houston and I already had a couple of connections, right? It's a small town in a big city, like a lot of places. And I'm a natural connector. And so I said, wow, but there are a lot of these other people who want to start their own business, or they want to get involved in philanthropy, but they just don't know who to ask or how to do it. And so we created a group. It didn't survive the pandemic because we were an in-person group, and we thought about other models, but just hadn't had time to get there. But I applaud you for putting this together, for having something that's lasted 10 years at this point that can make a real difference for people and continue to create those connections and community and help ask the right questions and the hard questions and just encourage people to become better every day.
It's my pleasure, and I think I get the most out of it. And I'm it's really interesting to hear your desire to do that too. And I'm curious where that comes from. Like, where do you think that that comes from, that desire to create those type of spaces or those type of movements, if you will?
Yeah, I've always had that since I was a kid. I always wanted to invite everybody to my birthday. I wanted just to be inclusive. In seventh grade, I distributed flyers in the whole school. And I wasn't like the popular, you know, kid or anything like that. I just did a lot of different activities. I was always interested in engaging in a lot of inquiry. And I had a party for the whole seventh grade. And just, you know, we set up volleyball in my backyard. And I didn't have a fancy house or anything like that. But none of that stuff mattered. I just wanted to create a space where everybody could come and enjoy themselves, whatever level that was. That I've always been driven by that. And I honestly think a lot of that is probably ancestral DNA and genetics, just coming from hearing stories of some of my family members and how they did things like that, or having a mom was a social worker. My dad's mom was a social worker. So just people really invested in community building. And so I love the fact that you've been able to make a career out of this and do something in a very different way, because there are a lot of groups out there that bring people together, but they might say they do it intentionally, and some do, but some don't. And I think even with the ones that do intentionally bring people together, there's always room for improvement, right? There's always things that you can look at and do differently.
Well, it's, you know, one of the things that irks me, or one of my pet peeves, is I think a lot of things that get called a mastermind that aren't actually a mastermind, they're more of a group coaching environment or like a conference where people are on stage like speaking. And that's not what a mastermind is. It's a roundtable conversation, at least in my view. And I think that there's some tools that can be put in place to make that conversation richer. And that's something that we're always working to get better at. But I think the most important thing about these type of environments is that the conversation is relevant to the individuals in it, mm-hmm. and that they have some buy-in into that agenda. Because I think where these things really go bad or go off the rails is when it's like, when the agenda is created by someone in the ivory tower of like, oh, I think this is what we should talk about, versus really understanding what people are going through, what's going on in their life, and what's relevant to them. To me, that makes all the difference.
So you talked a little bit about what you see as a future vision for Junto with helping the kids, the next generations of your members. I'd like to hear a little bit more about what you see as next for you and your wife. You've been traveling for a year. Are you going to continue on this travel quest? Are you settling down? Are you going to start any other ventures? And is there anything else that you're going to add to Junto? So I know that's a lot of ping-ponging questions, but...
My main focus is always to make Junto better, to make something that our members get a lot of value from and want to share it with other people that could add value to it. So that's always my number one focus. I've been working on some investments and building up more of an investor side to what I do, because I have some interesting insight into both the people as well as like the vehicle in the business. And so I think that's an opportunity that I'm excited about, and that our members are excited about for each other too, as we learn to like empower each other. My wife and I are going to continue to travel. So we decided to do another year of it.
Nice.
We're going to continue through the Pacific Northwest, spend some time in Canada, and then also go down to South America for a while. So I'm very excited. It's the easiest way that I can explain it is that traveling creates a lot of neuroplasticity, like a lot of growth, because there's so much newness, and it really allows me to evolve as a person in a way that being settled in a consistent environment wasn't allowing me to do.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I just was in the Pacific Northwest and love it. So I know you'll have a lot of, and once we finish the episode, I definitely have some other things for us to talk about and people to introduce you to who are flourishing in different communities in South America that you should definitely visit when you're traveling.
I'd love that.
Yeah. So somebody goes to junto.global, fills out the form, then what happens next? Because looking at it, and I'm like, okay, there's not a lot of, you know, information.
Slightly intimidating.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think we almost evolved out of a secret society, like from a secret society standpoint, where it was like, yeah, you know, because a lot of people, I think, want to participate in this type of environment because they want access to these type of people. And we have to guard that space in order to keep that space what it is.
Yeah, keep the right people.
Yeah, but that's me defending it. I also think that's really good insight. So I appreciate you sharing that with me. I wrote that down. Our process is designed to create a life-changing experience, whether someone decides to join or not. Long story short. So our goal is to create an experience that someone would even want to share it with people if they decided not to join, is how we've thought about our process. So we'll start with a conversation, as most good things do.
Yeah.
And we're going to really learn about the individual and what they're looking for and what their goals are. And we dive a little bit deeper into really like what is the why underneath that, some of the things that we talked about. And we're just looking to see if it's a good fit. If there's a way that we can add value to this individual, we're going to do that. And if it makes sense through the process, we'll actually invite them to participate in one of our masterminds as a candidate, as a guest in our meeting.
Okay.
For them to meet some people that are involved and participate in what we do. Because there's a lot of people, frankly, that have never actually been in a mastermind and don't really know what a mastermind is.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see is that this type of experience becomes highly relevant to people at a certain point in their professional journey. So most entrepreneurs, CEOs, and executives are part of a peer group at a part of their journey and usually stay in it for many decades. My hypothesis is that someone like your daughter would really thrive in this type of environment. And I think it's really relevant to help people figure out what it is that they really want and what it is that's really holding them back. Because in my opinion, most people are smart enough once they know what's holding them back to solve it. But I think most people don't know what is holding them back. And that goes back to the value of questions.
Absolutely. Wow. This has been such a rich conversation. And I just really appreciate you being willing to unpack so much with me today. Is there any last thought you'd like to leave aspiring or current entrepreneurs and small businesses with?
All right. This is cliche, but this is a quote that I heard at a certain point in my life that really impacted me. And it's that life is not a problem to be solved, but an adventure to be lived. And so as much as a young innovator or entrepreneur or problem solver, we probably take a lot of gratification and self-worth in solving problems, but not necessarily letting life become a problem that we need to solve, and instead an adventure to be lived. And for me, life has become a lot more fun. Looking at it from that adventure, it's a lot more empowering. And that's really what life is anyway. It's anything that we make it to be. And that's a pretty exciting, as well as, you know, a big responsibility.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I wish you well on your travels and with Junto. And I know we'll stay in touch. So, Parker, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Anika, it was a pleasure to meet you.
And thank you to everybody who's watching or listening to this episode. I'll be back again with another amazing guest to share a little bit about their journey and how they can help you in yours.
Want more? Check out amplifywithanika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithanika.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with a design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.